SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson, Mike Prada with you, and our pleasure is promised to talk some college basketball, as it is that time of year. I know it seems extremely early to say that, but it comes quicker every year. And joining us right now, the associate editor for SB Nation DC, Jake Whitaker, is with us here on SB Nation Radio today. How you doing, Jake?
Good. I am more upbeat than Gary Williams after a game-winning shot.
Yeah, we forgot to talk about this, but this he must have seen those pictures of him where he's, you know, they win on the game winner by Pishon Howard, and he looks really, really pissed.
He looks really disheveled, as always, but very angry because it got to that point. Hey, this is a College of Charleston team, as you know, Jake, a year ago, beat North Carolina. Granted, Carolina had a crappy year, but at that time they were playing okay. So it's not a terrible team, but, I mean, what do you make of the Terps? A couple sloppy wins so far for these guys in a lot of ways. Should they be concerned?
I think it's just growing pains right now. You know, players still trying to find their role. Gary's still trying to figure out his rotation. I think it's – and, you know, they're still trying to, you know, figure out the pecking order with so many of their key players, you know, Vasquez and Hayes and Milbourne out of the way now. I think it's just a growing period right now. But, I mean, I wouldn't raise any warning flags just yet.
One guy who has been really awesome has been Jordan Williams, though, and that's got to be a good thing for the Terps.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He's just been a monster on the board, as always, and getting a lot more solid with just his offense, footwork. It's just been coming together really, really well so far.
I feel good about that because we talked about who was the player to miss, likely make the biggest impact this year, become the next star. I believe you and I both concurred on that one, Mike, that it was going to be Jordan Williams.
You're wrong, Jake. Wrong.
Freeman hasn't played yet. Freeman hasn't played.
Yeah, it's early. It's early for him.
True.
Well, Jake, what do you think, though, about some of the – we always talk about the obvious teams, the Georgetown and Maryland, but – what about some of the other teams that are getting ready to get going here, George Washington and George Mason? What can we expect in the early going from these teams?
It's going to be interesting because George Mason, they're right now they were predicted to go second in the conference in their preseason poll, but they've got ODU ahead of them, and of course they had a great year last year, returning a lot of the same guys this year. They're going to be really tough to knock off for the top spot, so Mason would really have to make a push to try to make the CAA a multi-bid conference this year. And George Washington, they're playing in the Atlantic 10. That's also going to be a tough conference to really get that conference championship with, but the A-10's gotten a lot more respect with the play of Xavier and Temple. So if they can keep up with those teams, they both definitely have some shots this year at maybe getting an invite to the tournament.
The other team that's kind of, I think, flying under the radar that when you wrote in your piece the other day, is a preseason favorite to win the Patriot League is American. That kind of surprised me a little bit. But do you think that they can – is it fair to label them the favorites in that league?
We'll see. I mean, they had a very rough year last year, but for most of the past 5-10 years, American's always been right in the forefront of the Patriot League. They've got Vlad Moldovanu, who – really came on in the second half of the year once he became eligible when he transferred from George Mason, and really gave the Eagles some, you know, a dynamic scoring threat. And if he can keep that up and get some help, I think he can really make American a threat this year.
We're here with Jake Whitaker, associate editor for SB Nation and also a columnist as well with us here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson and Mike Prada with you. I know you wrote about this past week about the players who could make or break local teams' tournament chances. Now, obviously, the early returns for Maryland with Adrian Bowie have not been pretty, but but overall, you know, one of the other guys I know you mentioned in that piece, Payshawn Howard's performance, on the other hand, obviously he's got people probably pretty excited.
Definitely. He's been really dynamic, been racking up assists, and I guess College Charleston had finished making 6 of his 7 field goal attempts, including the game winner there, and I think he's got Maryland fans rightfully excited. It'll be interesting to see once we get against, you know, a little stiffer competition, once he starts playing some road games, how he responds, but he's definitely brought a spark off the bench for Maryland, so he'll definitely be interesting to keep up with this year.
The one interesting thing I find with the Howard kind of Bowie dynamic is that historically Gary likes to kind of ride the seniors. I remember way back in the day Terrell Stokes got a lot more time than maybe many felt he should have, or maybe I'm talking about Dwayne Simpkins, I don't remember, but either way it seems like he rides the veterans. But if this keeps up, I mean, is there any way Gary can justify playing Bowie over Howard if this keeps up? I mean, going into the ACC?
If it keeps up, it's going to be very difficult. But, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, I mean, Bashaun Howard can hit a game winner and still not draw a smile from Gary. So, you know, it'll be interesting. But, I mean, I think it's definitely something when the conference schedule first starts rolling, I think he's going to really rely on Adrian to kind of bring a little bit more stability. But Bashaun Howard's definitely going to be an X factor for Maryland. If he can keep up the play that we've seen so far, he's going to make Maryland very dangerous as they start taking on some of the big boys in the ACC.
Jake Whitaker's with us, SB Nation columnist, also associate editor, talking college hoops here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prado, 106.7 The Fan. All right, for Georgetown, you mentioned Jason Clark. Everybody obviously is talking about Austin Freeman and the ability to break out this year, especially you. But what do you feel like that Jason could bring to this Hoyas team if they're going to maybe, you know, kind of live above what the expectation level may be this year?
Well, the thing with Georgetown is, you know, it's just such a weird dynamic with them being big man you, and now they have to rely so much on their guards with Austin Freeman and Chris Wright. And Jason Clark's going to get a lot of playing time, too, even though he's still more of a guard. And I think, you know, it's a weird comparison, but Villanova was very guard-heavy a few years back with Randy Foy and Alan Ray and Kyle Lowry. And, you know, they still made it work because Kyle Lowry did a lot of the gritty, tough things that guys that, you know, generally are bigger than he is had to do. And I think Clark's going to have to do that in order to keep Georgetown running this year without, you know, that low post threat that they've been used to over the years.
But the weird thing about Georgetown is that they run an offense that, the Princeton offense, that is very, I guess I wouldn't call it big man oriented, but you need those big men that can pass and score inside.
Right.
Whereas Villanova kind of, if I remember them correctly, that team ran a lot of high screens for Randy Foy. They ran a lot of kind of really basic stuff like that. What kind of adjustments do you think JT is going to have to make to kind of make this kind of roster work?
Well, like you said, I think there's going to be have to be a lot more screens, a lot more pick and roll game to utilize their strengths at guard, because, you know, they just don't have the threat. I mean, their big men could still pass. JT3 is always going to coach that very well with his big men, but opposing defenses aren't going to respect their, you know, them taking it outside to make those passes if they can't knock down the shots, which no one really knows if they're going to be able to bring that production this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how JT3 adjusts to that, but I think they're going to have to do a lot more to put the ball in the guard's hands a little more and create more open opportunities for them.
Jake Whitaker with us here, talking college hoops, associate editor for SB Nation DC, also talking college basketball with us right now as we look at some of the teams as they get ready to start the season. What about George Washington? Maybe not as much attention on them this year as there should be. What do you think of the Colonials' chances in the A-10 and how they could get off to a start coming up here soon?
Well, it's interesting because right now I think that Colonials finished 10th in the A-10 preseason poll, but a lot of that kind of depends on how Lazon Cromaw plays this year. He was very up and down last season. When he was hot, he could get the Colonials some key wins there and, you know, really force the defense to respect their outside shot. But the A-10's really deep this year, so George Washington has their work cut out for them, and they've got kind of a weird out-of-conference schedule because they have a lot of dates against opponents that are really close to Washington, but then they have to take a trip all the way out to Oregon State to play the Beavers after Oregon State came to play them last year. So it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust to having such a weird out-of-conference schedule, dealing with just the one really long road trip and then a bunch of just games really close by. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic for George Washington this year.
Jake, I got to ask you, because you're a Mason grad, correct? What do you think about this Battle of the Orange Line Part 2? I mean, I think it's kind of hilarious that they've been able to drum up this kind of buzz. I mean, do people really care about this Orange Line battle as much as it looks?
I mean, I think it's a big deal for Mason and Washington because, you know, they don't really get many chances to play Maryland and Georgetown and the other local rivals. So, they, you know, we got to drum up some excitement somehow. And, you know, until further notice, this is really their best out-of-conference rivalry, I suppose. And, you know, with, you know, so few other local teams really meeting up, it's really one of the few good rivalries we have, even though it's still in its infancy. But, I mean, I'm excited to see how it goes moving forward, because right now it's only, you know, a two-year agreement, but I don't see why they wouldn't want to renew it from now on, because I think it's gotten some good buzz for what it is.
All right, JK, great stuff, and again, congratulations on being the first double book guest on this show.
Wait,
in
the
Young History.
Before you go, I got to get some quick predictions. Who makes the tournament from this region?
Georgetown, and I think Maryland both make it, and I think American should win the Patriot League, so I think they'll be in too. And
wow.
George Mason, I think they're on the bubble, but we'll see.
Well represented. All right, Jake, good stuff, man. Appreciate it. Jake Whitaker, SB Nation Associate Editor and Columnist with us here on SB Nation Radio. Coming up, Alan May talking Caps with us here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan.